on your home for the Buccaneers, 620 WDAV and US 103.5. Here's your host, Dave Moore.
Welcome to the Total Access Show. After a late night last night, we get back. Rough one up in Baltimore. Good thing. AFC game. Bucks now have 5 games in a row against NFC opponents, so their destiny is certainly still in their own hands. Now, join me today, a tough guy, comes off to a rough afternoon yesterday and yet musters it up and comes to join us on the Total Access Show, Cody Grimm. How you doing, Cody?
I'm good.
How you feeling?
Sore.
Sore?
Yeah, a little. And obviously I'm not in the greatest mood. But
you got carted off yesterday. Can you describe it? Was on the second quarter, Aqib Talib interception. You're out there doing what you should do, and you're blocking for the guy.
Yeah, Aqib made a great play on the ball. Really unbelievable interception, and I was trying to block for him, and I saw him behind me a little bit out of the corner of my eye, and I knew he was it was one of those things. I'm like, all right, he's got to be coming past me soon, and then all of a sudden I just felt my ankle give out.
Now, did you know right away it was major? Or, you know, sometimes you have the adrenaline going, you're pumped up for the game, and you get up, and if the pain doesn't go away, then you're like, oh, okay, because everything hurts at the time.
Yeah.
Did you know it was serious?
Yeah, I never missed a day of football in my life. I never broke a bone or tore anything, but as soon as that happened, I knew I broke something. Rondé was like, tried helping me up, and I'm like, no.
You'll leave me here?
Yeah. Something broke in my leg.
So you're never one of those guys that had to be taken off the field before?
No, never. Missed a day of practice in college or high school.
Well, we watched a couple of weeks ago, Jeff Reiner up in the box for the broadcast, and, you know, there are some hits now. You see receivers these days laying on the ground. They look like they're dead. You can't see if they hurt their knee or their head or what. But you can tell. I mean, you had your helmet off with your face down, and you look like you're in a lot of pain.
Yeah, I felt my my leg bone pretty much break, and I knew it didn't hurt so bad. It was one of those things. I felt it break, and it hurt real bad right away. And then, like I said, adrenaline and all that kicked in. And then I thought about trying to stand up on it. I'm like, maybe it's not broke. And then I was like, nah, it's probably not a smart idea.
Well, after they carted you off, did you go? Was there an X-ray?
Yeah. We went right under the stadium, and they brought me into a room and X-rayed it. Took about 5 minutes, and then they brought back the X-rays.
And what did you break?
My fibula.
Now, is that the weight-bearing one or the knot?
I think it's a non-weight-bearing one. It's a smaller one, so I don't think it's a weight-bearing one. I got to get surgery on it Wednesday.
You do?
Yeah.
And what did they do there?
They pretty much just put a plate in and screw it back together. And I'll be out for about 3 months, they said, and then I'll be a full go. They said it's nothing hard to repair, which is good. So come next season, I'll be ready to go.
Right. And is it displaced? Is that what I got to put a plate on it? Or is it that just helps speed up
the process? Yeah, I think it just helps speed up the process, to tell you the truth. I'm not a doctor or anything.
I was always a guy, and I had a lot of surgeries, and I always asked, like, a ton of questions. I was like, so why do you got to do that?
Yeah, I mean, most of my questions
were... Are you going to make metal detectors go off now?
Yeah, well, I actually thought about asking that question, but I didn't.
But you didn't?
Yeah, that was one of my questions I had. I figured I'll worry about that later.
But, like in a movie, it's like, yeah, just a plate.
Yeah, I mean, I get surgery, and actually down in Miami, and I fly straight back, so I guess I'll know Wednesday.
Yeah. So what did you do afterwards? I always wondered that because I was, did you just go back to the locker room, take a shower, watch it on TV?
Yeah, they didn't even let me take a shower. I just went in, threw my leg up, got it casted all up in the locker room, and turned on the game and started watching it.
Did they put an air cast on the field?
Yeah, they put an air cast on the field, and then they took it off for me to get the X-rays, and then they put
a
hard cast
back on.
Right
away, pretty much, huh?
Yeah,
it wasn't going the wrong way or anything.
No, it was.
It's probably not a good question.
Yeah, you could see the clean crack right through the X-ray, but I mean, it hurt bad, but after took a little medication, I felt all right and was able to watch the rest of the game.
Now, you grew up in that area. Did you have family at the game?
Yeah. My whole family was there, my brother, sister, and a bunch of friends. But, they came down, my family, and my mom was all hysterical at first, acting like
she come down to the locker room?
Yeah, she came down. And then my sister and brother came down later, and they just hung out with me, and we watched the game for a second, and then they had to go.
Well, the
team had to come back and stuff like that.
Right, so they had to leave.
Exactly.
So what did they say this morning? Now, did they get all the – did they do anything else from just other than schedule your surgery? Did they decide that last night?
Yeah, they pretty much decided I guess it's better off to wait a couple of days before you get surgery, let the swelling go down. So I came in this morning. They took off the one cast. I was able to shower up and clean up, and then they put the cast back on, and they said the swelling wasn't too bad, which was a good thing. It'll help out with the surgery process. So.
Well, that's good. And he's saying you're going to be 100% coming back from that?
Yeah, he said.
Because they're certainly going to miss you. You know, I've become a fan of yours.
Yeah.
Sitting there watching the game.
Quote, unquote, he said that it's pretty much a layup surgery for the doctor. It's pretty easy. Knock on wood.
That's funny. You know, it's so much luck is involved. You know, we had Rondé on the show a couple weeks ago, and recently somebody asked me, like, what is the key to longevity in the NFL? How do guys play that long? And, you know, you have to take care of your body. But I said, you know, a lot of it has to do with luck. And he kind of looked at me funny. But, yeah, here you are just any other play, blocking a guy, and somebody rolls up on you wrong.
Yeah.
And it has nothing to do with preparation, taking care of your body. That's just a bad spot at a bad time. And it's amazing it doesn't happen more often.
Yeah, exactly.
You see guys get rolled up on all the time.
Yeah, fortunately, I'm a DB, so I don't have to block too much and worry about getting rolled up on. But, yeah, that's one of the crazy things. A few times that I have to block, I just got rolled up on and foot was kind of stuck in the ground and caught me at a good angle. And that was that.
So you've never been hurt?
No, actually,
or...
yeah, believe it or not, I don't even think anyone in my family's ever broken a bone, including my dad, who played 11 years in the NFL. I think I'm the first in the family.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Are they all calling you up, like, proud of you?
No, calling me soft.
Tonight, my guest is Cody Grimm. We're going to open up to callers here in a few minutes. The phone numbers, Hillsborough, 813-990-4620. Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Toll-free, 800-546-4620 and 800-596-BUCKS, 2827. Well, you went out. How about the introduction for the Baltimore Ravens? That was more like a concert setting than an introduction.
Yeah.
To the game. They had the smoke, the fireworks, the flames, and you had Ray Lewis.
Yeah, it was a pretty cool atmosphere. You see it on TV growing up, especially I have in that area. But
I've never seen anything like that. Cool. Yeah, and you know, I'd never seen anything like that as a player. I mean, I played in 220 games, and that was more of a
they had this smoke going and.
It's pretty wild.
Theme songs for everyone.
The atmosphere was playoff-like.
Yeah.
It was, the sidelines were packed. Yeah. And how was that for your first experience with that kind of thing?
I mean, I loved it. I love playing in atmospheres like that. And the thing is, it gets you fired up before the game and all, but once a game starts, it kind of everything after the first couple of hits, it's just like you're playing football in high school again. I mean, you kind of lose focus of the fans and everything that's going on and just get back to playing football.
Now, what you know, you came in seventh-round pick, probably not expecting too much initially, just trying to make the team, contribute on special teams, and you've been thrown into this starting role. Is it what you expected it to be?
Yeah. To tell you the truth, it is. I mean, it's similar to college, everyone is as good as the best college player you go against. So, I mean, in college, a lot of the times I'd cover the best receiver and stuff like that at times. And it's like every single person, every single lineman you go against, every single tight end is as good as the best player you played against in college. But, I mean, you expect that coming in. And then the preparation, now that you don't have to worry about school, you don't have to worry about your grades, going to study hall, all that stuff, it gives you a lot more time to focus on football. So you're a lot more detailed. You know everything about your opponent opposed to in college. It's a little bit... not as detailed.
Now, did the speed of the game surprise you a little bit or no?
Yeah, the speed of the speed of the lineman was the biggest surprise me.
And that surprises me you say that because you're a defensive back. I mean, I know you come down in the box late, but is that you're referring to guys pulling on the outside?
Exactly. Yeah. And like even on screen plays, anything like that, those linemen can move. I mean, and the thing is, college receivers, they're all fast, but they can't, not all of them can catch like NFL receivers. So it's like, yeah, everyone's just got the best attributes of each college player in the NFL.
Now, did you play safety in college?
Yeah, well, we ran a 4-4, so I was like a strong safety. Pretty much what I was is, I was like kind of like a Geno's position in the run game. And then I played nickel corner when we put in our 45 personnel when we bring Rondé to nickel. So I was pretty much like a permanent nickel.
But you're like the eighth guy in the box?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'd pretty much stay down in the box in college, but I'd go out and cover their slot receivers and man, stuff like that.
Now, I would expect, you know, from just being on the field, the strong safety always seemed to be the guy that was in the box and around the line of scrimmage, but you're technically the free safety. How does that work in this system?
Well, ours is kind of interchangeable a little bit.
Well, you seem to spend a lot more time down there than Sean Jones does.
Yeah, I think Coach Morris knows I feel comfortable down there because I've been in there in college a lot, so he puts me in a good situation where I feel comfortable. So a lot of our defense we were running where the free safety comes in, but we have different kinds where the strong safety comes in. It's about 50-50.
Yeah. Now, were they concerned with your size when you came in? I mean, you're like, first of all, you look like you're 13.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure.
And, you know, I can say that because I actually had to grow hair on my face to make me look a little bit tougher because when I came in, I looked like I was about 12.
Yeah, I'm still working on my stash. My dad's got a mean one, but unfortunately, I don't. Maybe
unfortunately, you're going to something out of the 70s with a stash.
Yeah,
Can you not grow to full operation there?
Oh, yeah, I mean, it doesn't look very good when I grow it out, so... like
patchy?
Patchy. Chicks don't really dig it, so I just usually keep a clean-shaven face.
Now, when you tell people you play in the NFL, do they believe you?
Well, no, they usually don't, so I usually don't tell very many people to tell you.
What do you
tell
them when they ask you what you do?
I just tell them I just moved down here and I got a job. That's what I usually tell them. Then if they ask where I work, I say for the Buccaneers.
And what did I say? Are you a
And then if they ask another question, yeah, and then I'll tell them I play football.
And they're like, well, I thought you'd be bigger.
Yeah, well, they'll say you're lying.
Oh, yeah?
I'm like, all right.
You tell them to Google you on their phone?
I'm just like, whatever you ask, what I do.
So when you were coming out of college, we'll go back to sum it up, high school and into college, but when you were coming out of college, I mean, did you go to the combine?
Yeah.
Now, when you talked to coaches, was the size thing, because you were more of a hybrid, say. See, when John Lynch came in years ago, he was what they called like a rover linebacker. He was that tweener guy, and they kept him at linebacker, and then when they moved him back to true safety is when he really excelled. Were they saying that's where we're going to put you the whole time? Or what?
Well, most teams said they were going to play me at safety, but a lot of teams, there were a couple teams that said they'd like to keep me a linebacker and see how I do. And I was always, when I was training out in Arizona for the combine, I did all safety drills and stuff like that. But I actually went to the combine as a linebacker. And so I did my linebacker drills, and then me and a couple other guys that were the tweeners in the linebacker group had to go and do safety drills after.
Yeah, what are the safety drills? Are like what?
I don't really.
Stuff?
Yeah, I mean, a little more deeper stuff, a little more ball skills, but it's pretty much, it's very similar stuff, to tell you the truth, within every group, from the O-linemen to the DBs at the combine. It's just, it's a lot of the same stuff.
Well, I'd say it's been very impressive to watch you come down into the box. You know, the position's hard because you start off the line of scrimmage, but yet you want to be able to get up there to stop their run, and you want to be on that edge when that running back cuts back, because if he gets clear and has a two-way go, that's a lot tougher tackle. Do you read the blocking scheme and try to hit that as fast as you can?
Yeah, that's probably one of the biggest changes from is college is in to the NFL is you got to read it. You got to have a good feel of what their run game looks like opposed to their play action, because you got a long way to go to get up there to fill their run.
Right.
But at the same time,
if you're late,
passed,
it's tough duty, am I right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, there's times where they'll get 5 or 6 yards, you'll make a good tackle, but when you come down late, a lot of times you'll give them a lot of open space and make it a lot harder on yourself to make the play.
Right, and you've done a great job in the open field. You've had a lot of big tackles. You had a big one right off the edge in the beginning of the game with Ray Rice. How was he to play against?
He was fine. Yeah, I mean,
you grew up kind of in that area, right?
Yeah, I grew up in Northern Virginia, so I mean, so I grew up a Redskins fan.
Right, obviously, but you saw Ravens a lot, right?
Yeah, my dad was out in Pittsburgh. I actually been when he was coaching for Pittsburgh. I went to their stadium 2 or 3 times to watch the Steelers play the Ravens, and so I mean, I knew about Ray Rice. Obviously, he's a heck of a player, but it was fun to play against him.
Yeah, were you a big fan of like Ray Lewis and that kind, or no?
Yeah, I mean, obviously Ray Lewis is a heck of a player, so obviously I grew up liking his game, but I mean, I was never much of a Ravens fan.
Yeah, were you a Washington fan?
Yeah, yeah. My dad played 11 years, so and then he coached.
I asked that. I mean, my son, you know, I played for the Bucks forever, and he's like an Eagle fan, and I want to throw up because he likes.
Yeah.
I don't know how that happened. That's the only reason I'm asking that.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I think he coached 15 years for the Redskins after he played there. So I grew up going to the Redskins games, had season tickets. We still have season tickets even though he coaches
up. Did you get to go stand on the sideline and stuff?
No, he wouldn't let me down there.
No.
No, I was just usually up in the stands. But I'd get to meet the players, hang out in the parking lot. I always thought that was cool. So.
Did you go to camp and practice and stuff?
Yeah, I'd go to camp, throw the balls around, hang out with him, sit in meetings, pretend like I knew what was going on.
Right. Take any notes? Obviously, it rubbed off. All right, we got to take a break. We're going to come back with Cody Graham. Again, the phone number, if you want to give us a call, 813-990-4620. Vanilla, 727-461-4620. Toll free, two of them, 800-546-4620, 800-596-BUCKS, 2827. We'll be right back on the Total Access Show. This is the Buccaneer Radio Network.
Total Access returns on 620 WDAE at US 1035, the home of the Buccaneers.
Welcome back to the Total Access Show. Tonight, my guest, Cody Graham. And Cody, we're going to go to the phones here. We have Courtney in Dallas.
Hey, Cody and Dave, I want to say, you know, hey, man, I'm really proud of you, and I've watched you at Virginia Tech, and I'm very excited about the future for you and the defense. On the play right before halftime, you know, there's speculation that there was a blown assignment by Rude or by Savvy, and Todd Heap went in the media said that the safety was out of place, which is fine. But what can you do, what did you see, basically? And secondly, what can you do to help Lynch or Savvy or whoever that they bring in to play your spot? And also, tell me about, I saw you before a play, I think about two or three plays before, you actually lined up in the box and you went one-on-one with a lineman, then shoestring or wrapped up Ray Rice. Tell me about that play. What did he say to you? Thanks, I'll hang up. Listen.
Yeah, as far as helping out Lynch or Savvy, I don't think they'll need that much help. I'm sure the coaches are going to do a heck of a job, just like they did with me. They'll make sure they know everything and grind it into them. They're both heck of players. I'm not too worried about them. I think they're going to, whoever it is, they're going to do fine. And then as far as that play, I didn't even see it, to tell you the truth. I was busy getting x-rays. And what was the last one?
Tackle on Ray Rice.
Oh, yeah, on the tackle on Ray Rice. That was just a good call, to tell you the truth. We were in a blitz, and I had the running back in man if he decides to come out. If not, I go up the A-gap, so it kind of worked out. He was running across a formation. I was able to shadow a lineman and make a tackle, and then he was jawing off a little earlier after I tackled him on the first play. So I was just saying stuff to him that I'll be there all game. Fortunately, I wasn't.
What was he saying to you?
I told him to quit running lead week because our defense has just been shutting down all year. Asking him if he's watched film or something, why they ran that, and then he starts, you know, saying you're gonna get tired of tackling me, and I'm like, nah, I enjoy tackling. I mean, that's what I did in college mostly. I'm used to being in the box, so it was all for fun though.
Are you a talker normally?
No, not really. I don't talk very much. I mean, most other guys are bigger than me and be able to throw me around, so I like to keep them on my good side.
Yeah, Donald Penn. We had Donald Penn in here. He's funny. He says he loves to talk. I said, will you talk against that guy that's pass rushing? Oh, no. I talked to the other guy.
Yeah.
He doesn't mess with those guys. Let's talk a little bit about when you started playing. You got thrown in action, like we were talking earlier about Tanar Jackson. You come in your second game. You have an interception for a touchdown. Can you describe that play? You remember it?
Yeah, obviously. I do. Yeah, it was just a really good call by Coach Morris. We faked like I was up in the box, and I really had the flats. I didn't even have anything to do with the run fits. And when I got up in the box, Carson started checking, obviously thinking this eight-man front. You know, figured we'd have a soft corner out there. And Akib disguised it great, made it look like we had a soft corner, and I was just able to undercut the ball and make a good play on it, and it was pretty much an easy touchdown from there.
No celebration?
Nah, I mean, I didn't even get in the end zone in college, so I didn't
know what to do.
I left all my end zone dances in high school, yeah.
Yeah. What did your room say, Akib and company?
Yeah, they were like, we need to work on something with you. Yeah.
Can you do a backflip or anything like that?
I can do a backflip.
You might want to throw that out.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
I never did dances. I always tried to act like I was there before.
Yeah.
Or expected to get there.
Yeah, I mean, I acted like I was there before, though. I never wasn't.
Well, the next time you do it, we're looking for the backflip. But we had Horace Copeland here years ago. He was famous for the backflip.
Yeah.
Looks pretty sweet because they put it on all the highlights, too, so everybody gets
to see it. Yeah, I don't know if I could do a straight backflip in my pads. I might have to do a round off first. But,
oh, yeah.
But, yeah, I'll work on it next season. Once
you do, like, a whole gymnast deal across the ends, that'd be pretty sweet, too.
Yeah, you know, some cartwheels and a round-offs and a backflip.
Yeah, perfect. All right, we have Scott in Brandon. You're on with Cody Grimm. Scott, are you there? I think we lost Scott.
Scott.
All right, we're going to go to Bobby in Tampa. Bobby, are you there?
Hey, Cody, I had a pleasure meeting you with Josh in a limo, man, and you are a class act. And I tell you right now, the Bucks are going to miss your playing back in the backfield. And I wish you a speedy recovery, man, and I'm looking forward to seeing you again in training camp, buddy. Hang in there.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Go Bucks.
Yes, sir.
Well, since the time you've been in there, you've averaged seven tackles a game, and you know, if you play those first couples, you'd be right there second on the team in tackles. And you were saying earlier, that's something that you pretty much were known for in college, is running around making tackles.
Yeah, I mean, I was actually splitting time with another good player my junior year. And I actually ended up second on the team in tackles after when the season ended with split time. So I think I just have a good motor, I think, and that helps me out a lot. I like to run around. I mean, I like to get to the running back, and I like to tackle. So I think that helps me out with getting a lot of tackles.
Now, when that ball's in the air, are you looking to take somebody's head off or try to pick it off? Or, you know, some guys are always looking for that interception. Like, you'll see Akib. I mean, he's going after that ball every single time. And then you see other guys, which he'd rather blow up the receiver.
Yeah, there's definitely times it's close. It all happened so fast. There's definitely times you should go for the ball, but then there's times, like the other day in practice, I was actually looking at the receiver, and you're thinking like you're going to hit him, and then sometimes the ball's thrown more towards you, and you could have picked it. But I'd say I usually look for the hit rather than going for the ball.
And you got fined, right?
Yeah, I got fined. Yeah, that was more of a not a –
That wasn't a blow-up
yeah,
shot.
Yeah,
were you leading with your head, or did he just happen to duck at the right time, or what?
Well, I was trying to get my shoulder across his head because the ball was sitting up on his chest, so I was trying to get my shoulder across his body, and he kind of ducked down, so my shoulder kind of caught him in the neck head area, and I guess they said that's illegal for lunging.
Now, when you tackle somebody, is there a certain way you have to tackle them? Like, if you miss, you have to miss a certain way?
Oh, yeah, well, definitely.
You try to steer him, I guess?
Yeah, as far as there's definitely times where you want to turn the running back to your help. So, yeah, a lot of times when I'm coming down, you like for the hole to be small and where you can just fit him up easy. But when the hole gets bigger, you got to know where your help is. So shoot for his outside leg. And if worst case, if you miss him, you're going to steer him right into middle linebacker or someone else. Yep, pursuing.
Let's go back to the phone. We have Mike and Brandon. You're on with Cody.
Hey, it's Mike from Bradenton. Hey, listen, Cody, you sound like you have a great knowledge of football, having been around, you know, this. My question to you is, now that you're being put on IR, what will the league allow you to do in a way of participation with the team? And I'll hang up and listen, but I wanted to wish you your best wishes with your surgery this week, and we'll look forward to having you back with us next year.
Thank you, Mike. Yeah. I don't know exactly what the rule is.
I don't know
is,
what you can do, really.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think there's any rule on IR. I think you obviously can't practice with the team.
Yeah, I can't practice with them. But, yeah, I mean, I'm going to study, and I'm going to watch the games and help out everything I can.
Hobble around.
Yeah, hobble around here. I enjoy coming in here, and that's the thing that stinks about this injury the most. I mean, we were all enjoying playing together and all that, and we had a good thing going. But, you know, it's part of the game. I called my dad the other day. He goes, you know, that's gonna happen to you. So all I can do now is try to help out where I can, and I'm sure the coaches are going to do a good job moving on and try to get this leg right for next year.
You and Davin lost two of you in one shot. All right, we have Kevin in Sarasota. Kevin, are you there?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, Cody, sorry to hear what happened. I'm a Hokie alum, and just wish you the best. I was curious, did your dad ever have an injury in his career? I think he did, but I can't remember.
Yeah, my dad had a couple MCL surgeries, I think three to be exact. But, yeah, he actually had to miss his Super Bowl because he tore his MCL once, which was tough on him. But, yeah, he had a few surgeries, and he understands. He's been around the game so long that he knows. He knows how it works. Like Coach Moore says, it's the nature of the beast.
He's good with the rehab, and so will you, I assume.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm gonna do everything I can to get back as fast as possible. Like I said, the doctor said it's not something that's huge of a deal, but obviously it's late in the season, so I won't be able to make it back this year.
Just want to ask you a question about Florida State. I've been watching them play since the 70s against the Hokies when we were both independents. It seems like we don't have a lot of luck against Florida State. Just wanted to see what your insight is on the game.
I mean, I haven't seen much of Florida State this year, to tell you the truth. Yeah, it's going to be a good game. Florida State, I think we split when I was in college with them. But they're a good team, and they got some good athletes. But Tech does as well. It should be a good game. I'm looking forward to watching it.
All right, if you want to join us on the phones, ask Cody a question, give him a thought. Hillsboro, 813-990-4620. Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Toll-free 800-546-4620 and 800-596-BUCKS-2827. You know, a couple of callers are referring to your father and your football knowledge. You know, you come from an athletic family. You know, your dad obviously played 11 years. Has what, three Super Bowl rings?
Yeah, four now.
Four.
Well, he won one with the Steelers coaching.
Right. That's pretty good.
Yeah, and then he lost one with the Cardinals.
Did you ever, sport them all at one time?
No. He wears
Did you ever wear them when you were a kid?
No. I mean, I'd try them on.
Couldn't bring them to show and tell?
Yeah, no, I'd try them on. They don't fit anywhere.
Where's he keep them? Does he have a case for them?
Yeah, he keeps them in a case, but he's broke his fingers so many times, none of them would fit me anyways. Maybe my
Is he one of those guys with all the crooked fingers?
Yeah, I mean, they're just kind of fat. I mean, he's a bigger guy as it is, and then they're all broken, big knuckles, stuff like that.
Now, you have brothers that are athletes too, correct?
Yeah, my brother, he actually works with the Cardinals now. He played football at Virginia Tech. And then my younger brother plays lacrosse at Loyola in Maryland.
Now, your brother, he played football at Virginia Tech?
Yeah, my older brother.
Did you play with him or no?
Yeah, I played with him. He never played much defense. He was always a special teams type of guy. He's 2 years older than me. So he came in. He actually played a lot of special teams. He never redshirted. So I played 2 years with him, and then he was gone.
Well, that's cool. Were you guys real competitive growing up?
Yeah, we were always competitive. We played on the same teams, actually, a lot. I remember when he was playing 85-pound football. I was supposed to be in the Pee Wee League, not even 75-pound yet, but parents brought me up and made me play on his team, so they only had to drive the one practice.
Now, did your dad work with you guys a lot with football-wise? I mean, did he give you stuff?
Yeah, he gave us pointers and stuff like that. But
coach you?
He coached my basketball team for about 5 years, believe it or not. And he'd come by and help out with my football team, but that time of the year he was always busy worrying about coaching the Redskins.
Now, you were a lacrosse player in high school yourself, right?
Yeah.
Your brother plays now?
Yeah, my brother plays at Loyola in Maryland.
And you actually got recruited to play lacrosse?
Yeah, I almost went to Georgetown. I was going to play lacrosse and football there. I got a scholarship, and I decided to pass on the opportunity just because I felt like if you're going to put that much time and effort into something, go try it at the highest level. And I always loved lacrosse, but football was my true passion, so I figured give up lacrosse and go see how football works out. You at a big school, and so you never live with what I could have been and stuff like that.
You went as a preferred walk-on? Or
yeah, I went I had some D1 AA offers, but my brother was already on at Virginia Tech, and then a couple of good family friends played football there. So I grew up liking Virginia Tech a lot. My parents said, do what you want. They had the money saved up, fortunately, for me to go to school. They said, do what you want. Make the decision. Go wherever you want. Don't let the money sway your decision. So I decided that I felt more comfortable with Virginia Tech, and I'd give it a shot. And fortunately, I was able to have success early and earn a scholarship after my sophomore year.
Now, did you come in as a linebacker or as a safety?
I came in as like a strong safety, same position I played. Yeah, like outside linebacker kind of thing. We ran a 4-4, so.
Did you play that in high school too?
Yeah, I played free safety in high school.
Did you play offense too?
Yeah, I played a little tight end, believe it or not.
Oh, yeah?
I was like a receiving tight end, line up in the slot. Yeah, you played there?
A little bit. Yeah. Now, did you have opportunities to go other places besides Virginia Tech?
Yeah, I mean, I was recruited at UVA, Pitt, Maryland.
Pitt? How did you not go to Pitt? That's where your dad went.
Yeah, right? Well, my dad wanted me to go there, but he was busy when I was coming out of high school. He was coaching for the Steelers, and their facilities connect, and, you know, if I would have went there, people would have been like, oh, he's only here because of his dad, and think I'm, you know, I beat a guy out for a job or something like that. Then they're like saying, oh, his dad probably had something to do with it. So I figured I'm better off just letting him.
Going out on
yeah,
your own.
Yeah, going out on my own to Virginia Tech and leaving him in Pittsburgh.
So once you get to Virginia Tech, you wound up fighting in for a – did you start your first year?
No. I didn't start till my junior year. But
did you eventually get a scholarship?
Yeah, I got a scholarship. I mean, my sophomore year, I started playing actually a good bit of defense. We got smacked by LSU on a Thursday night in the beginning of the year, and so they put in their backups, and I went in and played a good game, actually. So I started getting a little bit more and more playing time during my sophomore year. And then things started working out, and I played well my junior year, and here I am.
Did you go to any bowl games?
Oh, yeah. We won an Orange Bowl. Where else did we go? Chick-fil-A Bowl my senior year. We won that. We went to Jacksonville for the Gator Bowl. And then another Orange Bowl that we lost. We lost to actually Kansas in a key. Key pick six on us.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Do you ever talk trash in the room?
Well, I covered him, yeah. Oh, yeah. He lined up a receiver a couple times. I don't need to. He knows what happened.
Oh, yeah? Did you lock him down?
I got a pass breakup on him.
Oh, yeah. I think I read it in that Chick-fil-A Bowl. You had like 3 forced fumbles?
No, NC State, I actually.
NC State?
Yeah, I tied an NCAA record or something. It was kind of.
Or something?
It was
yeah, like you
bit,
don't know, right?
Yeah, it was a good bit of luck. I actually forced 3 fumbles in the first 4 plays somehow. But I'll take it.
Absolutely.
It's one of those things, right? I had to like hit a guy barely and somehow the ball would come out.
Now, do you miss lacrosse at all? I mean, that's like a Northeast or Eastern sport.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't even know the positions. I mean, how many guys are on the field?
11.
Oh, it is?
No.
No, it's been that
10.
Long, huh?
10.
10 guys?
Yeah, you got 3 defense players, 3 midfield, and then 3 attack and a goalie.
So were you like a goal scorer? Or you?
I started out as a midfielder, and then I played a little bit of attack my senior year. Just because midfield, you run around a lot and stuff like that, and they rotate lines and all that. So I actually came out, and instead of substituting out, I just have one of the attackmen start playing mini, and I play a little bit of attack. So I could be on the field longer.
You following that, Jeff? I know nothing about it.
Got it. Yeah,
my son Jake likes it, but I
yeah, it's a good sport.
It's actually growing now. I hear a lot more about it. All right, we're going to go back to the phones. We have Gary in Clearwater. You're on with Cody.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I'm actually at Clearwater and Tallahassee, so we got a little bit of a feud coming up on Saturday. But, yeah, I just wanted to touch base with you. And, you know, growing up in Tallahassee, I played football against Geno Hayes and, you know, he was a really stand-up guy. I wanted to see how things are like on the practice field with him and inside the locker room. And also wanted to wish you a speedy recovery and good luck in the surgery. And I'll hang up with you guys and just take a listen.
Oh, thank you, Gary. Oh, Gino's a great guy. Him and Dakota, both from Florida State. They're both good guys. I enjoy being around them. We have a lot of fun talking trash to each other. But they're both great guys and really good football players. So I have the utmost right respect for Florida State. They got a heck of athletes and a good program.
You got an interesting room that you're in the meetings every day. You got Rondé, who's been around forever. You have Akib. Well, I can imagine what meetings are like with him, Biggers, Lewis, Sabby Piscatelli. You have all the what is that room like? And then you have Raheem that likes to spend a lot of time in there.
Yeah, it's awesome. We have a lot of fun. Akib usually gets everyone going, whether he's making fun of someone or just just talking crazy like he always does. But it's a fun room. That's what stinks about this injury. I mean, I enjoy going to that room and hanging out with Coach Lake, and everyone's cool. We have a lot of fun, and then we get a lot of work done too. So it's
you
awesome.
Learn a lot from those guys like Rondé.
Oh yeah, you can learn so much from a guy like Rondé. Has been in the league so much. I mean, he helped me out just picking stuff up even during the game, just little things that you wouldn't think of.
Talking to Raheem, I mean, you obviously had your dad and your family and brothers for football the whole way up, and then you have guys like Rondé that you can learn from. And, you know, I mean, that's invaluable as far as helping you be where you're supposed to be. All right, we got to take another break. We're going to be back. Phone numbers one more time. Hillsborough, 813-990-4620. Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Toll-free, 800-546-4620. And 800-596-BUCKS, 2827. If you're on the phone, hang on. We'll come right back to you after the break. This is the Buccaneer Radio Network.
Total Access continues on 620 WDAE and US 1035. Here again is your host, Dave Moore.
Access Show. We're going to get back to the phones here. My guest tonight, Cody Grimm. We have David and Brandon.
Yes, I had a couple questions. One, Cody had mentioned earlier that his father missed a Super Bowl because of injury. I was wondering if the Redskins won that game or lost it. The Super Bowl that he missed.
I think they actually won. I think it was against Denver.
Oh, okay. It wasn't the one here in Tampa against the Raiders then?
No.
Oh, good. listen, as far as when you come back, I know it won't be this Sunday, but as far as watching the games, you won't jeopardize your future by hobbling around on the sidelines, will you? Because that's pretty dangerous there.
Yeah, I'm sure I won't be on the sideline until I can walk, or even if I'll be on the sideline at all for the rest of the season. I don't know exactly how that works yet. But, yeah, I got surgery this Wednesday, so I definitely won't be around this week on the sideline.
Okay, well, good luck in the future. And, you know, we're very impressed with the team's progress and looking for a good end of the year.
Thank you.
Bye.
Now, when they put this plate in, do you have to wear a cast with it, and for how long?
Yeah, they said I'll be able to walk around on it.
I told you should have asked all these questions.
Yeah, well, I did.
Are they going to take the plate out?
No, the plate stays in.
Permanently?
Yeah, and it's just, I guess it's just a little thing. But I guess some of the other guys, Cadillac had the surgery, like five guys on the team had it, and say within 3 months, I won't even know I ever got hurt.
A lot of guys coming and talking to you about it, or what?
Yeah. The guys that had it happen to them said they never even feel it anymore, which is a good thing.
Better.
Yeah.
After all the rehab.
Exactly.
You and Todd will be good buddies for the next few months. If anybody knows about that, Cadillac does. All right, back to the phones. We have Mike. Mike, you're on with Cody.
Hey, how you doing, Cody? I hope your recovery goes well.
Thanks, Mike.
And if it doesn't violate your contract, you know, we got a lot of lacrosse going here in the Tampa Bay area. And there's a summer league that starts in May and June, you know. You could call it rehab for your leg.
Yeah. I mean, I'd love to do that. I don't know if that would be a good idea, though. If I were to get injured out there, I don't think the coaches would ever be able to forgive me.
No, they might get a little mad at that.
Exactly.
Have a good night.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, thanks. All right, we have Bill. Bill in Tampa. You're on with Cody.
Hey, Cody. How you doing? Hey, Dave. How are you?
Good.
Hey, Cody and Dave both, I just want to thank you guys, Dave, for being a part of the Buccaneers, and Cody for being a Buccaneer now. Just, I'm born here and, you know, had season tickets when I was 13 back in 83 during the lean years. And, I mean, and not so much this team is having such great success right now, but the teams through the years. I so appreciate what you guys go and do for the city. There's only 31 other cities in this country that have a pro football team, so you know, a lot of times we'll take it for granted when things aren't working out real well. But I just wanted to thank you guys. I've even thought about stopping by a One Buck place over there and just telling somebody at the office, thank you for playing as hard as you do, thank you for all your training and using your abilities out there. It's awesome. And Dave, I wish you had been on that Super Bowl team, because you earned it, man.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it, Bill.
Thank you, Bill.
You're like, yeah, there's a lot of – you're going to learn the more time you spend here. There's a lot of great fans. There's people that from years that stand out
in front of the facility and cheer you on. There's some pretty loyal, even though it's a little thin in the stands now.
Yeah.
But you guys keep winning football games, they'll come back. You know, I had Styles G. White on the show last week. And one thing you guys as a young football team have been able to do is come back from, you know, even yesterday. You know, you get there, they speed up the tempo of the game, you give up a couple big plays, but yet you never stop playing. And he made the comment that you guys are so young that you don't realize you're not supposed to win games like that. You know, how do you see that? Being able to come back like you guys. You know, this is the NFL. This isn't like a high school where you come back.
Yeah, I just think we're resilient. For real, every game I've been a part of out there, I never felt like we were out of it. Coach Morris coaches us hard and trains us to play to the end. And so no matter what the score is, we think we can come back. And with a guy like Freeman, a lot of times we do.
He's unbelievable. He's done a great job. It's a little bit off yesterday, but, you know, he really, you know, has been made some tremendous throws. Now, real quick, back to Baltimore. Was it loud once that game got going?
Yeah, definitely the loudest game of the season so far. It was definitely really loud, especially when our offense was on offense early in the game. I mean, we were pinned back near our end zone a good bit, and
that field position on the road is hard.
Oh yeah, they pinned us back early, and their fans got real loud. But I enjoy playing in that atmosphere.
Yeah, it's exciting. Get you pumped up.
Exactly.
Now, when you guys got on defense, they did that like little sugar huddle. They got on the line of scrimmage and they were speeding the tempo up, kind of not necessarily a hurry up, but they were. Did you expect that? Was that a change up for them?
Yeah, it was a little bit of a change up. Yeah, we didn't expect them to do it. I think they were trying to, trick us with a little motion, get up there early, try to catch us out of position. I mean, we are a young defense, and we're still learning a lot, but we were fine.
It didn't affect you guys at all?
No, I don't think it affected us very much at all. If anything, I think it helped us out a decent amount.
Yeah, keep you warm. If it was a cold for you.
It wasn't cool for me, and they got all those heat things on the benches nowadays.
Yeah, I'm getting soft in my old age. All right, back to the phones. We have Ron. You're on with Cody.
Hey, Cody, it's Ron in Clearwater. Really proud of you. Also, went to school in Blacksburg there and realized when you're recounting all the bowl games, I was at all those games, so that was really cool. Kind of off subject for football, and then we'll bring it back a little bit. 4/16/07, an infamous day. I just wondered what your experience was on that day, and also has it changed your life and the people around you?
It's definitely changed some of the people around me's life. I actually was leaving films. We were busy with spring ball at the time, and I was on the way home, and cop cars were just flying past me. And I was like, someone must have got shot, or there must be a hostage situation, something like that. I mean, I live like 2 miles away from the facility, and there had to be 12 cop cars that flew past me. What had happened, it was the first person actually got shot in the dorm. So I get home, and I'm actually going to bed, and then one of my buddies who works donates some of his time at the hospital there up the street, so supposedly there's a shooting going on. So next thing, I started watching the news, and you hear all these names just keep popping up, like 5 died. 20 died, and then all of a sudden, all the way up to 32. It was definitely, it's changed your life, really make you take for granted how good life is. One of my roommates, Bo Warren, who actually still plays center for Virginia Tech, he didn't come back for 4 hours, and you couldn't get in contact with anyone because the phone lines were down, so you started to worry. But he was in the building next to it, and pretty much they just locked down the school so he couldn't get home. But fortunately, I didn't know anyone really well. So I didn't get affected as far as that too much, but a bunch of my friends and people I know around the school were really affected from it.
No doubt. Appreciate you sharing that. Hey, I grew up in Virginia, big Redskin fan of your dad. Can't hate him enough now. Buccaneers all the way. Real proud of you. Thanks a lot, Coach.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Now, how long did it take after all that to get semi back to normal? Were your parents like freaking out? Did they want to pull you out of school?
No, they weren't freaking out too bad. It took at least, they ended up canceling school pretty much for the rest of the year. You could do anything you wanted to help your grade, but a bunch of people pretty much just left school and went home pretty much everyone for the rest of summer. So it was one of those things. It took a whole year. Next year when you got back, they had the building shut down that where everything took place. So it definitely took a whole year. And I think one of the things, actually, the following year football season got everyone back together, back in the school spirit. I think that was a really good thing for the school.
Yeah, I'm sure you heard from everybody you know trying to make sure it wasn't you.
Yeah, exactly. But the thing is, so many people were calling at the time that your cell phone wasn't even working. Like, you just, nothing was going on. You'd have no service, and all of a sudden it'd pop up, like, 30 missed calls, stuff like that. So it was pretty crazy.
Oh, that's crazy. All right, we're going to go back to the phones. We have Steve in St. Pete.
Yeah, hey, Cody. Big fan of watching you play. Hope you have a speedy recovery.
Thanks, Steve.
Quick question, man. I was hoping you could talk about, you mentioned earlier, like, the interchangeability of the two safety positions. You know, what's it going to be like? Let's say you guys bring another free safety in, or whether two strong safeties can play at the same time, two free safeties, just the specialization, I guess, that's involved, or whether, you know, it's interchangeable enough that you guys can play on the field at the same time.
Yeah, they're interchangeable enough. It's one of those things. During camp, Coach Lake would actually have me switch to strong and then free, so you learn both, and you want to learn both so you know what the other person's doing, and you can help out at both positions, and it just gives you a better feel of the defense. So as you learn free safety, you pretty much try to pick up everything you can about strong, and the only difference really is when you switch positions would be that they had more practice doing a certain thing, but as far as knowing the positions and being interchangeable, I'd say they're pretty close.
Now, do they try to play to your strengths? If you're a guy that's better in the box, will they?
Yeah, you know, I mean,
try to
that's
keep
more
you down that way. You
kind of
mentioned that
a
little bit earlier.
Depending on what the other team's doing, I'd say that's more of a game plan thing, rather put the free safety or the strong safety up there. But yeah, Coach Morris always does a good job of putting us in the position to place to our advantage, place to your skills.
Now, if they flop to formation, sometimes they have more receivers
exactly.
on one side. Do you have to flop, or do you
switch
and one drop
down? Yeah, if they motion, you just drop the other safety down, opposed to if they reset the formation, then you just reset the defense.
Now, do you guys match up personnel-wise? And my question is, you know, some teams will, whatever they call on defense, they'll run it, regardless of what personnel group comes in on the other side. Offense, you know, if they want to keep three linebackers in the game or go to nickel, or we saw some six DBs in the game yesterday. Are you the type of defense that matches up depending on what comes in on off the other sideline?
Yeah, we like to match up our personnel with their personnel. Usually there's a couple defenses that you can actually run different things depending on their personnel, but mostly we like to get a change our personnel and have a defense called and that personnel they have out on the field.
And sometimes we see on the Bucs offense that they'll take Josh Johnson and put him in the game at receiver. What does that do to you guys when you're trying to match up personnel-wise?
Well, we have a wildcat check if they were to do that. That's one of those things we haven't had to face this year, to tell you the truth. I'm sure the other D-cords have to worry about that, with being able to have both Joshes on the field at the same time. But we have a wildcat check that we've been going to. We haven't gotten in a long time, so.
That's a pain in the neck for defense court. Now you guys have to practice stuff, even if you've seen it once or twice, because you have to be able
exactly,
to make adjustments
to
it. Do you guys spend a lot of time? You know, coaches call it chasing ghosts. You may or may not see it. Do you guys spend a lot of time doing that kind of stuff?
Yeah, we did during camp and stuff like that. Got a good dosage of it in preseason, but we haven't seen much of it this season, to tell you the truth. So we haven't had to deal with it very much. But yeah, that's one of those things that. If offenses run it against you, you got
to
take practice time away from other things to address that.
And how much does shifting and motion and all that affect you guys? The reason the offense does it, if they send a guy in motion, if one guy goes with him, it's man-to-man. So it's kind of forcing you guys to tip your hat a little bit. But does that affect you? Is it hard to get your assignments right when you're switching sides and all that?
No, I'd say it's not so much of the assignment things. It's more of them getting informations that – you know, they might max protect, but they'll start in pro personnel and then somehow get into a max protect formation and go deep. And a lot of times when they're motioning people around, you won't you won't all of a sudden won't click in your head, wait, this is match protect formation. You're just trying to do your assignments rather than concentrate on what they're doing, and that's what they try doing with that.
Sure, and Bill Belichick is famous for getting in the game with two tight ends, but then he lines up like it's four wide receivers to try to get you guys to match up and have more of a run stop in front. And he tries to use those big, is there a lot of teams that do that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I mean, a bunch of teams do it. Yeah, Bill Belichick obviously is known for that. He's had a ton of success out there. He's a good coach. And, yeah, he does a lot of that, just a salad dressing kind of thing.
Now, your dad's an offensive guy out in Arizona.
Yeah.
I mean, does he help you with that kind of stuff now that you play defense? Or
No.
Does he do a lot of that kind of stuff?
No, he doesn't really talk to me that much about football. He watches my game, tells me little things that he could get that I can
improve
on.
Tell him to help you
out. But
he's only Hall of Famer. We'll talk about that after the break. But
yeah. I mean, I think it's one of those things. He knows Coach Morris and them know what they're doing here, and he leaves it in their hands.
Very good. All right, we're going to come back and finish up with Cody Grimm. We'll be back. This is the Total Access Show.
Buccaneers Total Access. This is 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of Buccaneers football.
Welcome back. As we finish with Cody Grimm, we're not going to obviously talk about Atlanta. You don't know anything about them, and they're going to be worried about other things. I did bring up the Chick-fil-A Bowl earlier, and I looked at my notes. You were actually the defensive MVP of the Chick-fil-A Bowl.
Yeah.
What'd you get down there to earn that?
I don't know what my stats were, but I had, I had a sack and then, two tackles for a loss and then a few tackles. I don't know exactly, but, yeah, it was pretty
cool. Obviously enough.
Yeah, it was pretty cool to get the award. I mean, being my last game in college, it was nice.
I tell you, for an undersized guy, a walk-on out of high school, you're able to get a lot done. How fast did you run at the combine?
I ran a 4.53.
It's moving pretty good.
Yeah, it's all right. It's
covering some ground. Can I ask you, what exactly is a Hokie?
I couldn't even tell you. I mean, you hear all sorts of rumors.
No,
I mean,
what is your mascot? Do you have somebody running around?
It's like a turkey. But I guess if you look it up in the dictionary, it's like some sort of other turkey. I don't really know exactly what it is. But, I mean, they have shirts.
That's never been a conversation when you're at school?
Well, yeah, it is, but no one really knows. But there's shirts around campus that – all people wear that says, what is a Hokie? And then on the back it says, I am. So I guess I'm a Hokie. I don't really know what it is.
All right. Well, let's talk about your dad a little bit. You got inducted to the Pro Football Hall of Fame this year. He coaches, obviously, in Arizona. How was that playing against him?
Oh, it was fun. It was real cool. It's awkward going out of warm-ups and seeing him, talking to him on the sideline. And then as the game went on, yeah, you tend to forget about it, but it was cool. It was nice for us
to
get the win.
You went out to dinner
sure.
the night before?
Yeah, I went over there. Well, we got out there Friday, so I hung out with them Friday night and got some food and then watched football with them, some college ball, a little bit of Saturday, and then that was pretty much it.
Did you try to pick his?
Oh, no.
Did he talk any trash?
Oh, yeah, he was talking some trash.
Oh, he was?
Yeah.
All right, he got – obviously, you're in camp when he gets inducted. Did you have the opportunity to go up there or not?
Yeah, Coach Morris gave me the day off, which was awesome. So I flew up there Friday and got to see the whole induction, hang out with him, and it was awesome. We're all older nowadays, so it's tough to get everyone together. So I was able to see my grandparents, my brother and sister, and have everyone, the whole family there together. It was a lot of fun.
How long did you go up there for?
Just a day.
Just a day? You had everybody there?
Yeah. All my aunts and uncles from his side and cousins. It was awesome because it's so hard to get everyone once you're in college together all at the same time. So it was good to have everyone there. Great family. I mean, obviously it was awesome to see my dad. It meant a lot to him. He's been part of the game so long. I mean, that's really the ultimate award that you can receive as a player. So he loved it and we all enjoyed it, and it was awesome to be there for him.
Now, do you want to follow in the footsteps and become a coach when you're done playing?
Yeah, I want to do something with football. This is my family business pretty much. Everyone's grows up. Their families are doctors and lawyers. I mean, mine all have something to do with football.
Now, did you get a degree?
Yeah.
In?
Property management. Yeah, it's not offered very much at most schools, but it's offered at Virginia Tech, so I enjoyed it. But I had to do an internship working at a property management company back in Northern Virginia, and I don't like the whole 9-to-5 thing in a suit behind a desk. I like to be more active. So, and if you get into coaching, you can be more active. So,
do you spend a lot of time watching film and breaking stuff down?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really break much stuff down at the property management company.
No, I mean as a player. You don't watch film as a property manager.
Yeah, no, you watch the parking lots, make sure they're getting full.
All right, Cody, well, listen, I appreciate you taking the time to come in. I know you had a rough night, and we appreciate your toughness. Next week we're coming to you from Raymond James Stadium in the lower club level for the Holiday Team Store from 6 to 7. Throwback, 4 o'clock, they moved the game to. Thanks for listening to the Total Access Show. This is the Buccaneer Radio Network.
You've been listening to Buccaneers Total Access on 620 WDAE and US 103.5, the home of Buccaneers football.